Last month, Philip Roth published a fascinating new novel, which is his take on this genre. Roth is probably still best known for his early books from the 1960s, especially Portnoy's Complaint, but his novels of the last decade, like American Pastoral and Operation Shylock, are among his very best. His latest, The Plot Against America, takes some true facts about Charles Lindbergh, his coziness with the Nazi regime, his public accusations of the Jews driving America into World War II, but then he starts concocting. I wanted to find out what inspired Philip Roth to rewrite reality. So I went to his home in a pretty wooded glen in northwest Connecticut and asked him.
I was reading the proof of Arthur Schlesinger's autobiography.
The great historian.
The great historian, indeed. And in talking about the 1940 election, he mentioned in a sentence that there were Republicans who wanted to run Lindbergh for president. I forget who now, but there wasn't much to it. There was just that sentence. However, I was struck by it because I didn't know that. And so in the margin, I wrote, what if they had? And 3 years later, I had a book.
Now, we should be clear about Charles Lindbergh beats FDR. It doesn't just mean the end of the New Deal. Indeed, it doesn't mean the end of the New Deal. What it means is that we do not enter World War II.
Yes, it means we don't enter World War II. Because any isolationist who had become president, and the country was largely isolationist in 1940, any isolationist who had won would have had to do what what I have Lindbergh doing in the book, which is reaching an agreement with Hitler and reaching an agreement with the Japanese, which really allowed them their territory, as it were, and their sphere of influence. So I tried to keep it as plausible as possible. In fact, Lindbergh does very little in my book when you think about it. It's rather the impact of his presence on the Jews, particularly, that the book is about.
He is sort of a figurehead who allows this kind of outburst, this welling up of anti-Semitism around America. Did that, as you began thinking about it, and the novel devolves around that in mm-hmm. significant measure, did that seem plausible to you in America of 1940s?
Yes. The 30s are the period that in which anti-Semitism flourished in America. But not just in America, as we know. It was a worldwide phenomenon, or at least a Western phenomenon. And though we didn't have Hitler, we had lots of others, like Henry Ford, who was a vicious anti-Semite, and who published a weekly newspaper whose goal was to spread anti-Semitic propaganda, etc. There was built into the society at that time discrimination against Jews that was accepted. So, yes, there was an anti-Semitism that could have been tapped by some kind of demagogue or charismatic figure. Luckily, instead of getting that, we got Roosevelt.
Could you read a bit from The Plot Against America for us?
Sure. Why don't I read the passage that takes place, I think the night is June 28th, 1940, when Lindbergh is nominated by the Republicans. And this comes as such a shock to our neighbors that they become concerned and outraged. Within seconds, my brother and I were once more at the radio with the rest of the family, and nobody bothered telling us to go back to bed. Hot as it was, my decorous mother had pulled a robe over her thin nightdress. She, too, had been asleep and roused by the noise. And she sat now on the sofa beside my father, her fingers over her mouth as though she were trying to keep from being sick. Meanwhile, my cousin Alvin, able no longer to remain in his seat, set about pacing a room 18 by 12 with a force in his gait befitting an avenger out searching the city to dispose of his nemesis. The anger of that night was the real roaring forge, the furnace that takes you and twists you like steel. And it didn't subside. Not while Lindbergh stood silently at the Philadelphia rostrum and heard himself being cheered once again as the nation's savior, nor when he gave the speech accepting his party's nomination and with it the mandate to keep America out of the European war. We all waited in terror to hear him repeat to the convention his malicious vilification of the Jews. But that he didn't made no difference to the mood that carried every last family on the block out into the street at nearly 5 a.m. Entire families known to me previously only fully dressed in daytime clothing were wearing pajamas and nightdresses under their bathrobes and milling around in their slippers at dawn as if driven from their homes by an earthquake. But what shocked a child most was the anger. The anger of men whom I knew as light-hearted kibitzers or silent, dutiful breadwinners, who all day long unclogged drain pipes or serviced furnaces or sold apples by the pound, and then in the evening looked at the paper and listened to the radio and fell asleep in the living room chair. Plain people who happened to be Jews, now storming about the street and cursing with no concern for propriety, abruptly thrust back into the miserable struggle from which they had believed their families extricated by the providential migration of the generation before.
That's great. Were you conscious of trying to make this chilling in the manner of a thriller? Because it certainly is chilling in the manner of a thriller.
Is it chilling? What's the chilling part?
That this indeed could have slid off this way so easily.
Yeah, though it didn't. I think I knew throughout the book that it didn't happen. So there was something very patriotic in the endeavor, which is this did not happen here. At a moment when it might have happened here, it didn't happen here. Instead of getting fascism, we got FDR. That was a big difference.
So patriotic in the sense that bully for America, we did the right thing?
Bully for America, this never happened.
The critical praise you've had has been extraordinary, not only in its deserved lavishness, but in its kind of unanimity. What do you attribute that to? Is it just you're doing your best work ever?
I don't know. Is it true what you're saying?
I believe it is.
Yeah. I just have probably become a very lovable person, I think. I can't answer it any other way.
Well, but more seriously, forget what the critics are doing. Just okay. Let's stipulate that these books are very good and great works. It is not usual or common for a novelist in his 60s and now early 70s to do his or her best work.
Well, all I can say to you is that my energy has not flagged. The compulsion has not diminished. And the desire to get it right remains the same. It rides you like a monkey. I live in a place where there are no interruptions, there are no temptations. And if you come out every day and you do your work and you write a page or two a day, at the end of the year you have 600 pages, and maybe that's a draft. So I've just been working every day, that's all.
Philip Roth, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Mr. Charlie Lindbergh, he flew to old Berlin. Got him a big iron cross and he flew right back again to Washington, Washington. Mrs. Charlie Lindbergh, she come dressed in red. Said, I'd like to sleep in that pretty White House bed in Washington, Washington.
Philip Roth is the author of The Plot Against America, the author of a whole shelf of great novels. To hear a longer version of my interview with Roth, visit our website, studio360.org.